and he's now leaving. British comic James Corden takes over The Late Late Show in March. And so this week marks the end of two landmark late-night TV shows. One birthed a future star of the genre, and another ended as a noble experiment which never quite lived up to its potential. I'm Eric Deggans.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat is 692.5, up 11. May is 694.75, up 10.25. Soft March wheat is 690, up 11.5. May is 660.75, up 10. March corn is 411, up 2.75. May, 419.25, up 2.75. July, 425.75, up 2.5. December, 434.5, up 2.5. January beans are 10.30¾, up 3¾. March, 10.39½, up 4¼. May, 10.46½, up 5½. July is 10.52½, up 5¾. January soybean meal, 363.20, up 3.90. January soybean oil, 31.80, up 3. December live cattle, 156.70, up 27½. January feeders, after starting the day in positive territory, 214.72½, they're down 187.5. February lean hogs, 81.55, they're up 107.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we have to talk about corn to start today's little chat because we've done some things technically we haven't seen in a while. Above the 200-day moving average and above 50% Fibonacci retracement if you go from the May 14 highs to the October lows. You've been telling us for quite a while to keep our powder dry. We were itching to do some marketing. And right now, we are making new highs for the move. So where do we go from here?
Well, we're at a point of resistance. If you look at the March chart, March corn, we did leave a chart gap July 7th. That kind of comes into play here at, I think, 414¾ up to about 426 or so. That is that 425 area is probably the next chart objective when you kind of look at some of these formations. So this is going to be a hard spot, I think, for corn, especially given the time of year here. Holiday trade is going to kind of take hold in here next week. A lot of people are going to take the next couple of weeks off, but all in all, you have to be real impressed by the way March corn futures has taken over lead option at the $4 area and have been able to maintain that $4 mark for the past several days. And like you said, making new highs for the lead futures month. Still have, I think, a ways to go. I guess I want to be a little bit more optimistic, but I also worry about what USDA may or may not say on the January crop report, and that could, throw everybody a curveball and maybe change the overall trend of this market for a period of time. So I think farmers need to be a little careful of going into that crop report, maybe too much on the long side. That would be the only thing that I would tell them to watch.
So you would peel off some incremental sale at this point and reward the market here?
I think I would. However, I'm still, like I said, I'm still in the bullish camp. I prefer minimum prices at this point. But I don't trust the USDA's crop report. You know, all signs point to me that it's going to be friendly, but I'm not too sure that they'll necessarily report friendly numbers. So you have to be a little worried about that.
All right, let's turn our attention then to the soybean market, which has shown some decline since we last talked to you, but it is chopping around the consolidated area, 25, 1025, 1050, that congested area, and it's right in there again. It's a market that doesn't seem to appear to have a particular direction other than sideways.
Yeah, I suppose you'd have to call it a broad-based, sideways-type market. You know, the way I draw the trend lines, I still have it pointed to the northeast. One thing that I am watching in January soybeans, it also shows up in the May contract, not quite in the March, is the 50-day moving average punching above the 100-day moving average on individual contracts. I call that a golden cross formation, and if that is validated here with a strong close here today and maybe throughout the week, if we could go ahead and maintain a strong close through Friday, close out the week higher, we do have some gains to make up here if we could have a good day today and tomorrow. Then I think that the Golden Cross formation would start bringing in a lot of new system trader buying, and that could maybe give soybeans another leg up into new high ground for the fall-winter move up. Corn futures had their Golden Cross back in early December, and you can see that is when it really kicked in gear to the upside, and it was a lot of fun buying that triggered that. So if beans can get one in place here over the next couple of days, then I think the shorts are going to be crowded out of this market, and the system trader is going to take control of it.
Do you have more faith in what USDA may give us in January in the beans and corn?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't trust any of the USDA numbers anymore. And especially when you get into December 1st stocks numbers, because everything's USDA backs out of everything. Like I said, I do think that when you look at overall acreage, I think acreage should be lower, but I'm not too sure USDA will do that. There's other ways that they can make that, you know, we'll maybe see unusually large feed, seed, residual use disappearance. I just don't have a whole lot of faith in what USDA will tell us and could very well, put the brakes on this market.
Before we let you go, let's touch on the dollar, which is knocking on the door of approaching its high for the move, which was back in the beginning of this month. And we had Fed news today that the Fed is pretty much going to be hands-off unless inflation hits the 2% or greater level, and we still have a race to the bottom among many countries who are melting down. What do you expect for the dollar for the next 30 days?
Well, we're right at a point here. We're terribly overbought. We're right back at the high that we made back in the 2009 of 89.64. The way I look at the dollar, I would basically say that we've been in a sideways affair since 2000. You probably go back to 2006 or 2005. So we've been in a 9-year sideways market, basically between 90 and 70, and now we're in the at the upper end of that range. I think if we would start breaking out into new 5-year highs, that would be at least positive from a technical perspective, and you'd probably see a lot of new technical buying come into the marketplace. While the Fed may talk about interest rates not doing anything until it's 2% inflation. The bond market is already telling you something is up. It's down over 100 points here this morning, and I think that will be the thing that will probably rattle the cages of the market more so than anything, because we do have a pretty big bubble in the bond market, not only the U.S. bond market, but clear around the globe. You can kind of look at what happened in Russia. Russia jacked up interest rates to 14, 15, 16%, and the ruble still went lower. It does look like we're headed for some turbulent times with currency valuations and how that may shake out in the commodity world. Nobody really knows at this point in time.
Thanks, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of CGB. You're listening to WIAM 580 and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.